Hello, everybody, and welcome to the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. My name is Darren Gushidge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hi, everybody.
And we're here to take you through this week's episode of Ring of Honor. This was the second week's worth of Field of Honor 2016 highlights that we received. The show was headlined by a four-corner survival match for the ROH World title. Before we dive into this week's show, though, this is an all-access show from ProWrestling.net, meaning you lovely people get to hear it for free without having to sign up for membership. But if you like what we're laying down today, or liked any of our previous all-access podcasts, and you feel like you want this on the regular, all you have to do is go over to ProWrestling.net, click on the membership sign-up page, and there you will find the instructions on how to become a .NET member. For as low a price as $7.50 a month, you get access to every single podcast we have ever made. We record an audio review for every single American wrestling TV show that is on TV today. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, TNA, ROH, and me and Hayden also do Progress Wrestling over here in the UK, Lucha Underground as well, and many more between. You also get access to our flagship podcast, the .NET Weekly Show, where Jason and a guest will run down that week's news in wrestling, let out some little tidbits of news that haven't been released on the site yet as well. Just last week, he had Dutch Mantel on to talk about the TNA situation. So you can go back and listen to Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter's thoughts on everything that's going on with TNA right now. And he will have, in the future, he will have more guest hosts on that show as well. You also get access to the membership forum, and you also get ad-free access to the website. All of that can be yours for $7.50 a month. Myself and Hayden were both members before we joined the staff of ProWrestling.net, and we cannot promote it more.
Indeed, and usually at this point, we usually, for the British listeners, we usually run down how much $7.50 is. However, because of the record low of the pound against the dollar, I don't think we should today, Darren.
But I'm going to anyway, and that is £6.19. If you're using the Ring of Honor podcast to keep a track of currency rates, maybe in the wrong place. However, if you're here to talk about wrestling, we're the guys for you. As we said, this is the second week's worth of highlights from the Field of Honor show that was taped a few months previously in Brooklyn, New York at the MCU Park, which is a minor league baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. I found this out, home of the Brooklyn Cyclones or something along those lines.
I saw it
on the field. Basically, there's a big theme park in the background that makes a distracting amount of noise during some of the quieter moments. Particularly in the first match on this show, I did, because you mentioned it last week and I missed it, but I did actually hear it during Kyle O'Reilly and Shibata's match quite a bit. It is a little bit distracting. You'd think they would have told them to turn it down a little bit.
Well, they can't really do that, I suppose. You know, it's an active park, but we'll get into the reasons why I think that the crowd is quiet during the first match when we get to it.
Well, let's dive straight in. After titles, we were greeted by Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino. Shibata came out first. I will not make an attempt to pronounce his first name. It looks terribly complicated. Shibata came out first on an absolute tidal wave of hype for me. This is actually the first match I'm ever going to see Shibata in. And he's taking on Kyle O'Reilly. We'll just skip straight to the end, as we usually do here on the .NET shows. Just because you don't really care about every headlock and every rest hold there is in this entire match. So, we'll skip to the good bit. Near the end, the men traded suplex and kicks and ended in a stalemate. Kyle O'Reilly was the first to react, building up to a pair of brainbusters and an attempt at Armageddon. Shibata tried to escape, but Kyle O'Reilly transitioned into the Alma Plata. He had Shibata in there for a while, and the referee, Tiger Hattori, kept checking on Shibata. Shibata was refusing to give up, but for whatever reason, Tiger Hattori saw enough and called for the bell, giving the win to Kyle O'Reilly. Shibata processed a little bit after the match. By the way, we should mention that Kyle O'Reilly's tag partner, Bobby Fish, was on commentary as well, and really did put over both men very well. He wasn't shouting all that much, which is always appreciated from Bobby Fish. Hayden, how did you feel about this opening match? I know my feelings are mixed, but if you want to read those, you can go over to .NET right now and read my Ring of Honor hit list as well. So, Hayden, how did you think this kind of almost MMA style pro wrestling match went down.
Well, the first thing I want to say is just now when you said skip to the good bit, that just reminded me of Rizzle Kicks. You said it sets in rhythm. It was very good.
Oh, hi.
I know. You know that we can't go a podcast without you groaning at one of my bad jokes.
Indeed we can't. Well, you've kept up with tradition, so I'm slightly proud of you.
But as for the match itself, yeah, it was very MMA-esque. That's a very good way of putting it. I put it in more in terms of if you're looking for like high-flying, mega-athletic type of a match, this wasn't for you. It was more of a wrestling purist type of match. It's not something that I want to see on a regular basis, but the fact that it's not something that we see regularly on a ROH show, I thought it worked well. I did like the way that, especially how Bobby Fish on commentary, like you said, was not only just describing the actual holes, but also making the point of how they hurt and why they hurt and things like that. It really helped with the actual story of the match. There were moments where my attention did gravitate away from watching the match. You know, it's not necessarily my style of match that I enjoy watching again on a regular basis. But for just a bit of a change to what I'm used to, I quite enjoyed it.
See, I have mixed feelings towards this type of pro wrestling in general. With the, you know, constant presence of UFC in our lives today, especially in the pro wrestling world, the two can't seem to really divorce each other as much as they try. And we see a lot of people who are obviously grown up, not only on pro wrestling now, but also with some MMA influences. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a style that works best when teamed with a more traditional style of pro wrestling. You know what I mean? So Kyle O'Reilly, taking him as an example, I like to see him work with the likes of the Young Bucks, for example. They're very high-flying. They're very much flashy pro wrestling at its purest. That's where I think this style works. It meshes very well with other styles. What I don't think it meshes with too well is another person who has that style, a.k.a. Shibata. Because then it becomes almost an MMA match. And I don't want to see that in my pro wrestling shows because I don't particularly care for MMA, and I understand it's a very, you know, intricate sport and all the holds are very impressive, and it did get a hit on my hit list. I'm not saying this was a bad match.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I find it like, oh, hold for hold for hold for hold, and it's more realistic. But realism isn't always good, because if wrestling was realistic, the Big Show would never have lost a match ever. He would just sat on everybody and won.
Are you thinking Dave Mastiff?
I am thinking Dave Mastiff. I'd be okay with Dave Mastiff doing that. But I think you're right. Taken in isolation and happening very rarely, I can get behind this type of wrestling. But it's by far and away not my favourite way to watch wrestling. I want to now quickly talk about Shibata, because this is the man who came in on a, like I said at the top of the show, a tidal wave of hype for this man. And I had not read it into him. I didn't know what his style was. I didn't know what to expect. I was underwhelmed. I don't know about you, Hayden.
Well, I'd seen him against Bobby Fish. It was a Death Before Dishonor, I think, was the pay-per-view that they faced each other for the TV title. So I knew what sort of style he brings to the table. So I wasn't particularly expecting anything different. I think the, in a strange way, the Death Before Dishonor, the fact I saw that match sort of helped with my appreciation for him, because that in my opinion was a better match, mostly because it was something on the line. It didn't feel like it was just two men just trying to beat the holy hell out of each other for absolutely no reason, whereas again with a TV title on the line, it did give a sense of importance. Again, he just seems a bit, I think, Marmite, if that's a good analogy to use on a for an American TV show. But it's you either love it or you hate it.
See, I don't necessarily think it was even his style of wrestling. It was certain things he did in the ring that kind of that irked me. For example, he had very little in the way of facial expression or charisma, almost like an innate lack of it. That's so bland and unresponsive to whatever was happening around him.
that's something that I noted in his entrance. I've used the word understated, and he almost looked quite not shy exactly, but just like he just couldn't be bothered.
And then you have
on his way to the ring.
And then you have Carino on commentary saying, "I'm scared of him," and I'm like, I wasn't getting that vibe, especially from the entrance. It's like he looks a bit bored. And then you get him in the ring, and he's doing that non-selling that Japanese stars like to do. But a lot of them have found a way to kind of, you know, be tough and, you know, have that strong style influence in there without no-selling to this extent. And Carino was quick to call him a cyborg. And I understood the reference completely, but I was like, being robotic is usually a bad thing. To call someone robotic in a wrestling sense is not a compliment.
This is definitely where I think Bobby Fish was helpful on commentary, because at one point Spatter was on his knees and Kyle O'Reilly was kicking him in the chest, and Bobby Fish basically said, "Okay, it looks like it's not hurting him. It looks like he's taking these shots without any pain, but I can promise you he is actually in pain. He just doesn't want to show it." And I think that helped. Without that line, I probably would have just been rolling my eyes at that moment.
I don't know, he did nothing to me that made him stand out over and above the other New Japan stars that we've seen. If he was maybe one of two people that came over, maybe he'd stand out more just because of his ethnicity and the fact he's from New Japan. The fact he's coming over here with basically all of the roster, and he did nothing to stand out from any of them. Now, usually not standing out amongst that, you know, cast of big, colourful characters is what makes you stand out. It worked for Stone Cold, for example. He was surrounded by all these cartoon characters and became a serious person, and it worked for him. But I don't know, it's not working for you, especially in comparison to another Japanese talent who's in the main event that I really do want to talk about and heap some praise on. But we'll get to that in a moment. We had a long and unnecessarily long highlight package for the Field of Honor show. And we also had another advert earlier in the show. I didn't notice it last week. You did, but I did notice it this week. They aired an advert for the Field of Honor pay-per-view in the middle of this show, hyping the big main event. And they did this 10 minutes before they gave you that main event for free. Had they given you the kind of middle, you know, all the lower card matches and maybe one middle of the card match on these two shows, I could understand if they protected their main event, they protected last week's main event, and maybe give you Kyle O'Reilly vs. Shibata as kind of your second week main event, I could understand the approach. But to give away what was probably the four biggest matches you had, you know, two title matches, a big six-man involving the Young Bucks, and one of the first American TV appearances of Shibata, that's your main event right there. Why give that away for free and then have the gall to try and promote that to people to buy it on? What? You could literally have sold any other show in that space. They could have showed Death Before Dishonor. They could have done anything. I even had the idea of, why not have a, you know, promote the fact that the current WWE Universal Champion was in your promotion not that long ago, and if you go to Video On Demand right now, you can order the Kevin Steen collection and see all of his best ROH matches and get on that tidal wave. There's no shame in that.
Even more recent, AJ Styles.
Exactly, yeah, both of them were in the company within the last 2 years. So why not do that instead of trying to flog them a dead horse?
And can I just point out that during the highlight package, they played probably as well as the fact that it was overly long, overly pointless, they played the worst music over the top of it. I just rolled my eyes at that.
It really wasn't good, but we'll move on to our main event. Tetsuya Naito came out, and he looked so cool in the white suit with the mask on.
Really?
Did you not like it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's because of recent events with the clowns around the UK. But I just got that image in my head.
Okay. Let's take the mask away.
That's no disrespect to the actual mask. It just reminded me.
Maybe that's just unfortunate timing then, but I think, you know, coming out in that white suit, doing what nobody else on the New Japan roster is doing right now, because they all tend to come out in the same kind of brightly coloured ring wear, and here comes Naito in just a nice, crisp white suit, I think makes him stand out. He did a lot of things in the next match that made him stand out to me. I can understand why New Japan are finally getting behind him, and they gave him an IWGP World title run, however short it was. by the way the commentary sounds, it sounds like he's probably going to be at Wrestle Kingdom in a prominent position, and I understand why. He was followed out by Jay Lethal, Hiroshi Tanahashi, you got a really big pop, and Adam Cole, the ROH champion. This is going to be a main event. I will point out that Steve Corino picked every single one of them as his pick to win the match, which was quite funny. With Kevin Kelly, they kept coming back to the joke all the way through. Every time someone was, you know, gained some momentum, he would just point out that he was his pick all along. Was very. It's fun to have fun time. Steve Corino back.
It wasn't quite the same, but it kind of reminded me of Bobby Heenan back in the day, sort of in the Royal Rumble, sort of saying, "Oh, I picked him. He's going to win. Oh no, I picked him." And it just gave me a little flashback. As I said, it's not apples to apples comparison, but it did remind me of that sort of style of commentary.
It was wonderful, and it set up the main event for this show, the second match of the night. This was Adam Cole versus Tetsuya Naito versus Jay Lethal versus Hiroshi Tanahashi in a four-corner survival match for the ROH title. Again, skipping right to the end, there was a part near the end where all four men were lying on the canvas having taken a series of big moves. Naito recovered first and put Lethal on the top rope. Tanahashi tried to turn it into a Tower of Doom spot, but Cole ran over, broke it up, sent both of the New Japan stars to the outside, and went to the top rope with Jay Lethal. Lethal managed to knock Cole off of the top rope and hit Hail to the King. You could see in the background Hiroshi Tanahashi climbing up the top rope. He went for the high fly flow onto Adam Cole, but Adam Cole rolled out of the way, and Lethal took this as his opportunity to hit the Lethal injection on Tanahashi. This took Tanahashi out of the match. It came down to Cole versus Lethal. I will point out, if you have legal man syndrome, you may have been going crazy in this match, because I have no idea who was actually the legal man.
That's me.
The end of it. That's okay. That's fine. I understand. It's very... Well, this is the type of thing. They tend to book these matches with people who don't wrestle in Ring of Honor all that often, so they don't tend to pay attention to the rules. Cole was set up for a Lethal injection, but Cole then kind of fell into the referee, distracting him, which allowed Naito to get into the ring with the ROH title. He hit Lethal with it, was setting up for his finisher when Cole ran over, superkicked Naito, took Naito out of the match, and then hit his new finishing move, which is called the Last Shot, which is a knee-assisted neck break, which is probably the best way I have to describe it, covered Jay Lethal and picked up the win to end the show. I liked it. I think there was a part in the middle where it started to slow down, basically because the style of match that it was didn't allow anybody to really build momentum. Because, you know, because of the quick change of the legal men, it doesn't mean anyone can get in a role in the middle of the match as they do in triple threats and traditional fatal four ways. But I think come the end, it kind of got there. I have another point to make, but I'll let you say your piece now.
Oh, Darren, you've taken nearly all my points, man.
Ah, that was the plan.
First of all, I'm not the biggest fan of the four-corner survival match anyway. It, to me, when they're abiding by the rules, it's clunky and slow, like you said. And when it's not, my OCD / legal man syndrome comes buzzing to the top. I didn't mind the back and forth at the start of the match where they were sort of trying to one-up each other all the time, trying to get in and out of the ring, etc., etc. It just went on for a little bit too long for my taste. As you said, the action in the middle was okay, and then it did pick up towards the end. I did really like the ending, though, in terms of the consistency with the Adam Cole character. Adam Cole, baby! In terms of his heel antics, because he saw an opportunity for someone else to do his dirty work in terms of hitting Lethal with a belt, distracting the referee, but then took full advantage of it by coming out with a super kick to Naito and then hitting the neck breaker or short shoulder breaker, whatever it was, to Jay Lethal. And I did really like that. As I said, it's just I don't particularly enjoy four-corner survival matches for the reasons that I said earlier.
I think Naito was the one that came out of this looking the best for me. The little bit where he ran against the ropes, he teased diving to the outside and then landed in the, what I like to call the Roberto Di Matteo pose. One arm, pointing to the sky, looking wonderful. He really stands out to me. I hope we see more of him. Because Tanahashi is fine, but the comparisons to John Cena make a lot of sense because he doesn't really do anything different.
No.
Every time he's over, he does the same thing.
And he's got a lot of charisma. I'll give him that.
That he has, much in, again, the same way that Big Match John does. But I can't remember a standout Tanahashi match, if you know what I mean, that it's in his ROH run. Admittedly, we're not seeing him that often, so it's kind of unfair to you know, kind of assess him based on his ROH work, because that'd be like assessing Austin Aries on his NXT work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just not a fair comparison, I'm afraid. But I've been more interested in seeing Naito going forward.
And I'm really glad of that.
So Go on, sorry.
I was going to say, I'm really, really glad of that, because I think it was either last week or the week before on the on our ROH audio, which is available for members each and every week. Thank you. You did say that you hadn't seen much of him since he came back, and all he seems to have done is just pull his eye up a little bit. Or is that eyelid up? Sorry, I do apologize. And because I'd seen the shows that you had, and I knew there was a bit more to him than that. So I'm quite glad that you got to see what I'd been seeing, and that Naito has improved night and day.
Excellent. I will point out, I am very glad I didn't order Field of Honor as a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Partly because, you know, now I've had it for free, I would have been a little cheesed off there. But none of these matches really felt pay-per-view quality. They felt like a very big house show, as opposed to
exact words,
else.
I was gonna...
Yeah, the main event in particular. Now, obviously, we knew it didn't carry much stakes, because we already knew that Adam Cole retained. Because, you know, this is a pre-taped episode, obviously. But had I ordered that and seen that live as my main event, I don't think I would have been overly satisfied with my purchase there.
No, I completely agree. It was the sort of setting was unique. I think, like I said last week, the setting's unique. It made them stand out, and it is good that they're able to have shown this to a wider audience. But if I'd had to have paid to see it, no, I would have been a bit undersatisfied with my purchase.
Definitely. Right. That is going to do us here this week on the ROH podcast. Plug away, Hayden.
As always, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed. We've already plugged the membership, and just to give you another little teaser, we are due to put up the next installment of the Progress Wrestling review. Me and Darren got together and we recorded a podcast to review chapter 35, which I think went 90 minutes in total. So if you enjoyed listening to me and Darren, and you want to hear more about the biggest company in the UK, then sign up for membership, and the audio will be up there in the next couple of days.
All of that for just $7.50 or £6.19 Queen's English. You can follow me on Twitter at TheGutridge. You can go check out my other website, FoulEntertainment.com. That's Foul spelled F-O-U-L Entertainment.com. We have a new Pokemon podcast is up, Got to Cast Them All, where we talk about the brand new Sun and Moon trailer. We have a Luke Cage review coming very, 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 very soon on there as well, looking at the entire series as a whole. And many other interesting podcasts coming up over there very, very soon, FoulEntertainment.com. As I said, that's going to do us here on the All Access side of things. You can join us next week on the membership side for next week's ROH TV, where hopefully we'll be getting back on track coming out of Death Before Dishonor. And we will
please,
see you all.
Please.
And we will see you all next week.